Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on Tuesday, November 19th, 2013. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. What an active day in the markets. A lot of crazy things going on. In the markets. We're going to be talking about a little bit about Yellen. We're going to be talking about Bitcoin. We're going to be talking about senior citizens. How long are they going to be able to live at home? And does the government want them to live at home? And many, many, many other things we'll be talking about. So make sure you stay tuned. But first, let's go and see the damage that was done to gold today. Only a buck and a half. A buck and a half for gold today, and we're looking at gold at $1,275, down a buck and a half. Silver is down 5 pennies today at $20.45. Platinum, after the beating it took yesterday, was up 7 today at $14.23, along with palladium up 4 at $725. USDX today trading slightly lower, 0.07 at 80.67. Crude oil is up a few pennies today at 93.43. And the paper markets. Let's go to the paper markets. Yeah, JP Morgan today, they finally agreed to the $13 billion settlement and admits wrongdoing in selling the mortgage-backed securities. Shame on them. And, you know, it's just, you know what it really is.
It's wrist-slapping time.
It's just bizarre. I mean, it's now, well, before when they paid these $1 million and $1 billion settlements, there was no wrongdoing. There was never an admission of wrongdoing. Now they pay the $13 billion settlement and admits wrongdoing. So, but does it really matter? No, absolutely not. You had the Dow down 9 points today at 15,966. The NASDAQ was down 17. At 39.31, S&P down 3 at 17.87. And the 10-year peaked back up 2.71% on the 10-year yield, up 0.03. So, yeah, fairly quiet day in the markets today. But there's a lot of news coming out in the markets today. A lot of admissions of what's going on, and you know, a lot of distractions today. You had the 150-year Gettysburg Address in which Obama decided to stay home in Washington so he could figure out this affordable health care situation online. But when he did repeat the speech that Lincoln gave, he omitted the word God, the little phrase at the end where God is mentioned. He just went right over that like it didn't exist, and that perhaps in his life maybe God really doesn't exist. But
and perhaps in the next one, Obama's not going to exist.
I don't know what you mean by that, but
I mean the good Lord may just sit back and say, "You don't think I exist? I'll show you who doesn't exist, Sonny."
Well, that's for the good Lord and God to decide. That's not for my judgment. That's beyond my pay grade. But certainly, what we do here on this planet determines what happens for the rest of our lives, for eternity. So be careful out there with folks with your decisions. And but yeah, it's interesting. But little fanfare on that. And of course, most people don't get it, won't get it, and a lot of people will say, so what? You know, freedom of religion in this country.
It's more than that. It's much deeper than that. It's the idea of sovereignty was originally sovereignty. The concept of sovereignty extends from God. All right. And we have a government that's concerned about people that say, oh, they're sovereigns. And they say there's a sovereignty movement and it poses some threat. It does pose a threat to the government. It doesn't pose a threat to the American people. It's because the government says, no, we're the sovereign. And in fact, early Supreme Court cases make clear that the people were sovereigns and the government was intended to be a public servant. And that's all. And when the government eliminates God, the source of sovereignty, when they eliminate God, they start moving in that direction. The sovereignty disappears, your ability to claim sovereignty disappears, and government's ability to claim that they are sovereign, and therefore they get to rule any way they please, whenever they want, without limit. They're the sovereign. They can do anything they want. It means that you and I and your kids and your grandkids and parents and everyone else, we are all in trouble. We are headed into a collectivist society where we have no significant freedoms or liberties, and very few people understand that if he deletes the word God, it's simply evidence of a government that doesn't want. They don't want just a separation of church and state. They want an annihilation of the church so that the state can rule without interference. This is big. This is big. This is important. It's a small thing today, but it's part of a big assault on our former freedoms and liberties. So, what else we got, Melody?
Well, we got Janet Yellen coming out, and this really isn't big news. Says a strong majority of Federal Reserve officials think the Fed's low interest rate policies have supported a still recovering U.S. economy. No kidding, Dick Tracy. You know, she's being, you know, nominated to lead the Federal Reserve. And again, it's just a letter to the committee how she defended the Fed's monthly bond purchases. And of course, the stimulus, we believe she will continue. Markets like it, markets like her, and they won't do anything to, corrupt that section of the economy. Our economy is based on the stock market, and people feel good going into the holidays, spend, forget about savings, forget about all the things that really are important in life, but just get out there and buy. And you had the Treasury Secretary today, Jacob Blue. Between October 1st, 2013, the first day of fiscal 2014, and November 14th, which was actually less than a month after Congress agreed to temporarily suspend the legal limit on the federal debt, the Treasury was forced to issue more than $1 trillion in new debt. So, woohoo!
And who did they issue it to? I've seen reference to that report, but who did they issue the debt to?
Well, a lot of it went to pay off maturing securities.
No, where I'm going with this is this. If they had to issue new debt, they had to sell new bonds. That's the way I understand it. Is that true?
That's true.
Who bought the bonds?
They did.
You mean by the Federal Reserve?
Well, they've been buying the majority of them.
Well, I know. They've been buying 80% up until now, and I assume that's what's happened again. I mean,
but
and it's...
Had- A large part of that had to go to pay off maturing securities that the Treasury had sold before and that had now come due. So they had to increase the debt in order to pay off the debt.
Anderson, which means they're in a position analogous to someone who's using their MasterCard to pay off their Visa to pay off their American Express. It is, you know, you're going into debt to pay off existing debt. It's pretty much of a foolish strategy. It's evidence of an entity that is on its last financial legs. That's the implication.
And it's been working from then, but they had other expenses. You had $98 billion in Social Security benefits, $77 billion in Medicare expenses, $35 for the Defense Department vendors, $34 billion for Medicaid. And that'll be increasing because they now have 300,000 new people on Medicaid with the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, there was $20 billion for the salaries for federal workers. Blah, 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 and it goes on. So, again, folks, we're in a grand...
The implication is that the House of Cards is... It's still standing, apparently. Mm-hmm. But you can see ever more clearly that it is a House of Cards. And your guess is as good as mine how much longer it can stand.
And we talk about illusions and how they're created to make everybody feel good so they can continue their cheery lives. But remember the 2012 presidential campaign now when the unemployment rate fell sharply? And is it Jack Walsh or Jack Welch who came out and said that when they declined from 8.1% in August to 7.8% in September, he said it was a lie, that these numbers from Washington are a lie to help the election, and pretty much everybody were just shocked that he used those words. He was so strong.
He was speaking to the president, Barack Obama.
And they basically he had to apologize and everything. Well, the Census Bureau today said, hey, guess what? They knew it. They knew they were being manipulated. In fact, just 2 years before the election, the Census Bureau had caught an employee fabricating data that had gone into the unemployment report. And the unemployment report is one of the most closely watched measures of the economy. I mean, everything is based on that. I mean, even the Federal Reserve says, hey, we're waiting for that percentage to get to a certain point before we begin to taper. Or if it goes higher, we'll put more in. So it's a very important number, and it's probably
it's a very important illusion is what
the
it
illusion,
is.
Illusion, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Again, John Williams at ShadowStats.com, he calculates the unemployment rate. Government says it's in the neighborhood of 7%. He says it's around 22%.
Well, there's a source that said the deception went beyond that one employee, that it escalated, of course, at the time of the election. Obama was looking to be reelected in 2012. And I believe this came out in the Post today. It was either the Times or the Post. And he says he's not the only one. The source who asked to
remain anonymous so he didn't get shot by the president. Go ahead. Doesn't want
to. Said he's willing to talk.
In his window.
But the one employee that got caught faking the results is a person by the name of Buckman is the last name. And that's according to census documents that was obtained by the Post. Buckman had said in an interview this past weekend that he was told to make up information by higher ups at Census. Ironically, it was labor's demanding standards that left the door open to the manipulation. Labor requires Census to achieve a 90% success rate on its interviews, meaning it needed to reach 9 out of 10 households targeted and then report back on the job status. And it goes on, and the article goes on, explains how it's figured out and so forth. But this Buckman, he conducted three times as many household interviews as his peers. And by making up survey results and essentially creating people out of thin air and giving them jobs, the actions could have lowered the jobless rate. Not could, but I would have to say did. Buckman said he was never told how to answer the questions about whether those non-existent people were employed or not, looking for work, or have given up. But pretty much everyone who knows how the survey works, you know, by creating people and filling the surveys out in their names, you know that it would show that the more people were employed. And but what's interesting about this whole thing is it came out, I mean, the census have looked into a handful of instances of the falsification by him. And consumer expenditure survey, only 4 instances of falsification were looked in while 14 were reported. I mean, they just turned the blind eye.
Yeah.
I mean, only 4.
Everybody's in on this. Everybody is in on this that's in the government. And it's one of the problems we have with a government that overpays its help. Most people, have been studies that indicate the federal government employees typically are paid about double what they could make doing the same job in the private sector. That means they've got twice the house they could afford if they were doing the same work in the private sector. They've got twice the car. They've got everything they've got is probably double what they can really earn in the private sector. And they have to have brains enough to know it, which means they are not going to bite the hand that overfeeds them, because if they do, they'll get fired. And when their income goes back to half of what they've been making, they're going to lose their home. They're going to lose their car. God only knows what they're going to. Wife is going to divorce them, take the kids and the rest of that sort of thing. The whole world falls apart if they blow the whistle on the government. And therefore, thinking people who are employed by government understand they're making so much money, they're not likely to blow the whistle.
Well,
if they were paid straight up and they thought they could go out and get another job, same as they have, same amount of money, they wouldn't have the incentive to keep their mouths shut.
I think you're giving these folks too much credit. I think sometimes they're set up. I think sometimes they're left open, and you know, people do what the people do. And sometimes it's, you know, you can. And I'm not supporting this. Where I have problems with, I have problems with the media. I have problems with the elements in government that should be taking this, and they should be fixing the numbers, and they should be coming out and releasing the new adjusted numbers, and you don't see any action involved whatsoever. The media, the reporting that I saw on it basically laughed about it, didn't think it was any big deal and so forth. So again, people have accepted the lies. They know what they know what will happen if they reverse the numbers.
Oh, if they reverse the numbers right now, they're in so deep right now they can't admit the truth.
That's right.
What would happen if the government came out and they said, oh, incidentally, John Williams is right. The unemployment rate is actually, we've been just lying to you all this time. What do you think is going to happen? What it tells us is we have a culture of lies in Washington, D.C. It's not a little bit. It's not once in a while. It's a lot. And this culture is dependent on these lies. They're not just occasional lies where you make up, you fib and you make up a story. The whole system is dependent on these lies right now. The lies are endemic. They're systemic. We have artificial people that were created by this guy Bullock or whoever you're talking about. And we also have an artificial money.
Yeah.
We don't even have real money in this country. We have paper paper debt instruments that we use as money. They're not redeemable in gold or silver. They have no intrinsic value. They are a lie. That's what they are. And very few people grasp this or understand it. But it permeates the entire society. It's kind of like oxygen. It's everywhere, and yet it's invisible. People don't get it. But they will get it at some point in the future when the truth comes out and the lies are finally just shattered. And when that happens, guess what? There's going to be hell to pay. All right, there's going to be a terrible problem when the truth finally breaks loose. There will be a time when they can't continue to sustain the lies, and when that time is, I don't know. I don't know if it's next week, next year, or 5 years from now. Nobody can tell you for an absolute fact, but we are certainly closer to that moment today than we were yesterday or a month ago or a year ago. We are closing in on a moment of truth, and when we get there, there's going to be trouble unlike anything this world has seen before. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Hey, I just want to tell the listeners we got some great pricing here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. In order to keep my prices competitive, I do shopping with all my competitors. I compare prices to make sure that I can extend our prices at the lowest price possible and continue to keep programs in support of many other programs on the air for education. Again, a lot of our funds go right back into the radio programs of Raleigh James, Lori Roth, Dr. Stanley Monteith, this program, Beth at Common Sense Coalition. We do a lot, but my prices are very competitive. I go online. But a lot of folks have a tendency to misread pricing on the website pages, and because they'll say, well, I was just there, and their price was a whole dollar cheaper than yours for Silver Eagles, and I'll go on there. And I says, where? You know, they're either reading the bid prices or prices for old-dated Silver Eagles or scratch-dated Silver Eagles. They're not comparing apples to apples. So all we ask folks, if you're doing comparisons, give us a call. And let us price it out for you, and I'll show you. Our shipping is usually cheaper than anybody else's for what you get, and our product is quality product. We don't send out scratched stuff. We, you know, if I do have a product, if I buy something back that is a little scratched or maybe the silver is a little toned, I tell you up front and offer you that discount. It's your choice whether you want to do it. But if that isn't offered in the specials and everything else that we have, they're beautiful coins. I believe in quality. That's what's wrong with this world today. Everybody, you know, is trying to save a penny, and instead they're losing a dollar. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com. DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. It's packed full of information this week, so get online and get signed up. And we got a couple more things
here. What was that? What was that all about?
It's Tuesday.
Oh.
It's Ruby Tuesday. No. You know, we were talking about the lies and how the economy and the world is based on, you know, things that just aren't real, and reality will win. I put my money in reality.
It has to win. I mean, it's by definition, it has to win. You can't keep lying about the unemployment. You can fudge. If the unemployment rate is 7.5% and you say it's 7.3%, all right, we can get away with that. If the unemployment rate is 22%, you claim it's 7.1. We got a problem. You can't. It's like having a speedometer on your automobile that does not tell the accurate speed. If you're either driving so fast you're going to get a ticket, or you're driving so slow you're going to get smashed from behind, or you're going to drive so fast you're going to go around the curve believing, you know, you're only going 60 miles an hour when you're going 90, and next thing you know you're in the ditch. That's what's happening. You have to have accurate numbers in order to steer the economy. And if you don't have them and you won't share them, guess what? We are headed for a wreck.
And it's just not here in the States. And, folks, I get it. It's hard to look at the stock market when it's at 16,000. Hey, we're going to talk about Bitcoin a little later on in the program. From yesterday, it went to 500 to 900. Went back down and came up a little bit. But those are, you know, tremendous. And it's hard not to look at those. And there's people and other economists, they're newsletter writers that are come out saying foreign stocks is where you want to put your money and all this kind of stuff. Hey, it's going to happen everywhere. You had global growth is expected to lag this year. It's everywhere because the global growth is all based on the Federal Reserve pumping trillions of dollars in the U.S. economy, trying to keep our interest rates low and get money flowing. And guess what? The stimulus, which has been going on in various guises for years, it also helps sustain growth in emerging countries. That's what Al's been talking about, how the foreign markets, the BRIC nations, have been, you know, they've been credited with a lot of the money that the Federal Reserve is trying to pump into the U.S. economy.
Supposedly pumping into the U.S. economy,
it's going
but they
after.
Haven't.
But guess what happens when we stopped the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development? They've cautioned the impact of another damaging fight over the U.S. budget. We had, you know, the problem we had with the default possibly on our debt a month ago, and also warning countries around the world, nations, about what happens when the Federal Reserve begins to start pulling back, for when they stop the policy of pumping all $85 billion into the month. So, you know, folks, that's reality.
I'll give you another example of the unreality, the irrationality, the incredible lies that exist. There are, according to some estimates, as much as $1.4 quadrillion in derivatives floating around this world right now. The number is impossible. It's irrational. It makes no sense. It can't possibly be real. What is the gross domestic product for the world? Do you know, Melody?
Not off.
70 trillion, something like that?
Something like, yeah.
All right. So, and what have we got?
60.
And we've got $1.4 quadrillion. It means it's, what is the math on that? Something like 20 times, at least. I'm not sure if that's correct. But there are at least 20 times as many derivatives as there is the total gross domestic product for the world. It's just nuts. It's nuts. It's nuts. And it's part of the, I think it's part of the consequence. You start lying about the unemployment rate. You start lying about the interest rates. You start lying about how much money is around and how much has been borrowed, how much has been created by the banks, how much fictitious money has been created by the banks under the fractional reserve system. And eventually, you start piling up so much money, you got to do something with it. I think they've moved much of the illusion off into these derivatives. I won't say that's God's truth, but I suspect maybe that's true. Where did all the illusory currency go? Maybe it's in the derivatives. But 1.4 quadrillion, it's just an insane number. And sooner or later, you can't sustain insanity. It has to just break down. So, and it's one of the reasons why we tell people, look, don't buy into the paper world that the government advocates. Don't buy into the digital world that the paper that the government advocates. We know you can't escape it entirely. We know everyone is tethered to it to some degree. But that world is based on lies that can't survive, in my opinion. And if that's true, then you need to get into something real. This isn't a lie, and that's what brings us to gold and silver.
And I just wanted to move on here. Just one more, Al. We talked a little bit about this on our break, about the federal cuts is hitting seniors who want to live at home. And seniors are desperate to avoid nursing homes. Government-funded services such as free rides to doctor appointments are key to independent living. And there might be a lot of people out there thinking, well, those old people should go into nursing homes. You know, what good are they? They're useless eaters. What do? They just live off the system, and they're expensive. But we had mentioned, and I'm going to go into some of these numbers real quick, well, maybe the government doesn't want these seniors to be living on their own. The $80 billion in deep federal budget cuts this year has trimmed many such services, putting seniors more at risk of losing their ability to live at home, and that's according to a survey of agencies that work with the elderly. Some 76% of agencies surveyed that the sequester or the deep spending cuts that kicked in on March 1st have prevented them from meeting the needs of seniors staying at home. The National Association of Area Agencies on Aging on Tuesday released a survey of 69 member agencies across 9 states. This level of cuts is truly going to affect the ability of many older adults to remain in the home. And go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that when you move out of your home, you're now an elderly person. You don't have a job anymore. The last thing you've got that gives you a sense of dignity and perhaps even usefulness in the world, I won't say this is true for everyone, but for some people, is your home. When you move out of that home and you move into some sort of an assisted living circumstance, that can be psychologically devastating for a lot of people. It's kind of an admission, and I am a senior citizen, so it's not like I'm some young kid who's just poking fun. I'm not. I recognize the problem, at least to some degree. I think I understand this to some degree. It's not easy. You're going into that assisted living home. It's kind of a concession that you can't make it on your own anymore. And a lot of people can't survive that sort of admission. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know that it's true, but I wouldn't be surprised that if we could find legitimate statistics, not provided by the government, by someone who did a survey, how long do people live when they're in their own home? And how long do people live when they go into assisted living? Or, an old person's home or whatever you want to call it. What is the difference? And I'll make you a bet that people living in their own homes live a few more years than the people going into assisted, into the nursing homes and so on. Like, there's reasons for this that go beyond just psychological reasons. There are people, of course, you're going into a nursing home, it's because you need care. All right, I get that. It has to be done in a lot of places, but a friend of mine, his mother is about 95 years old, and she's just now moving into an assisted living place. Costs her $1,900 a month to live there. And I understand. She's just essentially, she's getting ready to fold it up. She's getting ready to pass. And she doesn't intend to do it in her own home. She's going to do it where she has assisted living. And part of the problem with this is people, you lose that home and you lose some of the last interests that you have that sort of tie you to the existing society. You know, if you're elderly and you have your home, you're still concerned about things like property taxes. You still want to get involved, and you want to vote when you can, and you want to assert your opinions because you have an interest. You have something in the game, so you want to play. you move out of the home, what's your interest? Whether we're going to have vanilla pudding or chocolate pudding at the nursing home today? What are your interests when you step back away from that home? And it's not true. Well, some people stay involved. I get that. But I still think that there's a problem here. It's not a good choice. And I don't. And if I'm correct in my suspicions, and that's all they are, it means that if Melody is correct and that the government is creating circumstances to drive the elderly out of their homes, then the government may know that they are creating circumstances to abandon your home. And I'll bet the statistics are out there and available to the government. Those who abandon their home die a year and a half sooner than those who stay in the home. Maybe it's 3 years sooner. I don't know how much, but I'll bet you it happens. And if I'm correct about that, we don't know that I am, but if I'm correct about that, it means we cut the government's debt. Don't want those old people hanging around until they're 120 years old. That's a big strain on Social Security. The government doesn't want it. The faster they can whack the old folks, the less money the government has to pay. And they have a debt that's unpayable right now, too big to ever be repaid. So the whole thing, you look at these kinds of numbers and you consider these kinds of problems and you wonder, are you just going off into a world of conspiracy theories and tinfoil hats, or is there some foundation? You know, if we could count on the government to tell us the truth about all the numbers all the time, there'd be a whole lot less speculation, there'd be a whole lot less conspiracy theories. It is largely, significantly, because the government lies on a regular basis. If they're lying, what for? It absolutely spawns the conspiracy theories. We know they're lying about something, and they won't tell us what they're lying about. So we are left to guess. Maybe we guess right, maybe we don't. What do you think, Melody?
Well, you know, what I have a problem with it is, right, they lose a voice, they lose an opinion, and certainly it does cut down on the debt. But, you know, they're giving away free cell phones.
Mm.
I'm sorry. I would rather have that cut. I mean, I don't understand. There's so many free programs for things that are meaningless. They're just objects that I can't relate to, but yet helping someone to stay in their own home to live out their life to where it used to be, you know, societies, the senior people were respected, and I don't know, it's just left a bad view, seeing, you know, it's making it harder for people to live out their lives. I saw an article earlier today that 60 used to be the retirement age, now it's 80, and that's okay too. I believe people need to work as long as you can. I have an uncle, he's 81. He'll be 81 next year, and he's still working full time.
And it's probably helping to keep him alive.
Absolutely.
I can remember 20 years ago, I don't know what the numbers are now, the average man died. They knew the average man died within 3 years after he retired.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure that's still true today, but it was then. People need to work. They need that sense of work gives you a sense of value, and you need it. You need it to sustain yourself psychologically.
But it's just interesting. And then it goes to show, why are people having such a hard time living at home? Why do they need to have all this help? It's because we have a currency that's losing its value. The purchasing power of the dollars, $1,900 a month for your friend's mother?
Yeah.
I mean, my grandparents lived on $800 a month.
I understand that.
So it's... things are getting more and more expensive, and that's not about to change. Not when we have the system that we have. The system has to change, and it will change.
I don't know about that. It will not change willingly.
I agree
that it's going to change, but it will not change willingly. It won't change voluntarily, because what it's doing is wrong. And it's not a mistake. We're not dealing with a government that has good intentions and somehow things are made and we are dealing with inadvertent errors. We are dealing with a government that ships our jobs overseas. Right? This is destructive. You could make a case that it's ultimately treasonous. We are dealing with a government that has encouraged illegal aliens to enter this country for several presidential administrations. Huh? This isn't an accident. They are encouraging people to break the law. And my complaint is not with the illegal aliens. My complaint is with the people in Congress who won't do anything to enforce the law. There's a section of the Constitution where the government is obligated to protect the states of the Union from invasion. They aren't protecting us from an invasion by illegal aliens. They don't even want to. They are encouraging that invasion. What I'm arguing is that this government is working against us, and it's going to continue to do so until we shut them down. I'm Alfred Addis, Karen Financial Survival. Be right back, please.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we got a question that actually came in on Monday, right at the end of the program, and it's about Bitcoin. And okay. We're going to talk about Bitcoin today. So this, what he wrote, is a little bit old from yesterday. The Bitcoin virtual currency is up 24.5% in 24 hours. It's even more so now, touching a new record of 619, and as we mentioned today, it hit 900. The surge is the beginning of something spectacular, with it potentially displacing the dollar. Jeffrey Tucker, the Foundation of Economic Education, told the Russian Times, the important thing is that Bitcoin, he believes, has the potential of becoming a new international monetary standard, something like gold standard in the 19th century had this real potential. So he thinks it could displace the dollar, and we're talking about maybe 5, 10, or 15 years from now, but the bottom line is that the government currencies are broken at the moment. They don't meet the modern needs of an internet age, and Bitcoin does, Jeffrey Tucker explained. And the question, may this impact the U.S., the collection of IRS?
Well, ultimately, it's probably going to work out that way, because there's an article here, Department of Justice, SEC, declared that Bitcoins are legitimate financial instruments. Departments of Justice and Security and Exchange Commission are telling U.S. Committee that Bitcoins, U.S. Senate Committee, that Bitcoins are legitimate financial interests. instruments, excuse me, boosting prospects for wider acceptance of the virtual currency. Now, this is, things are looking good, right? For bitcoins, according to the SEC, and they are reporting that the digital money offers benefits and carries risks like any other online payment system. They're comparing it to PayPal, for example. Bitcoin, PayPal is, we can use PayPal, we can use bitcoins. That's essentially what the argument. And they're saying the future is looking bright for Bitcoin, which is hovering around 600 mark when this article was written. Well, where we're going with this is, first start, Bitcoin's future seems bright. But here's another one. This is from Forbes magazine, and it's, the headline is, Are Bitcoins the New Gold? For more than 4 years, gold and Bitcoin prices moved in the same direction, north, though Bitcoins followed a rather erratic pattern. But in the past 12 months, the two investment vehicles parted paths. Gold moved south. Bitcoins moved north, meaning growing more valuable, especially in the last 3 weeks, during which time they tripled in value. Are investors fleeing gold for Bitcoins? Again, this is Forbes magazine asking this question. And they continue, they say, we cannot say. The Bitcoin market is still tiny compared to the market for gold. And that's the point I want to get across. Bitcoin is a triviality. It's a fad at the moment. It's like a hula hoop or Miley Cyrus or whatever her name is. It's getting a lot of press right now. But in the end, it's tiny compared to the market for gold. And it can't really grow. Because the way this thing's set up, they only have so many bitcoins in existence, and so far as I know, they do not intend to ever add more. Price per coin can go up, but the market is going to stay limited. All right, can bitcoins be the new gold, Melody? That's the first question.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, how could it be? I mean, that's kind of like saying, is my new Bic pen the new gold? No.
It's not even like saying your new Bic pen, because your Bic pen actually has some tangible existence.
Yeah.
These bitcoins are nothing but an algorithm or something on a computer. Right? They are purely digital in a world where, I don't care what anyone says, there is no such thing as internet security. One way or another, bitcoins are supposed to have a very sophisticated program that protects them from, hackers and a bunch of other things. But they've been cracked a few times already, or hacked a few times already. They're going to be hacked some more. This is digital currency is even crazier than paper currency. It's once you crack the program, once you can steal this stuff, it becomes an open invitation to theft and to exploitation. And although at the moment it's a hot item, the fact that it's digital rather than tangible, they have no intrinsic value. And here's another one. This is from the Daily Ticker, and it says, Bitcoin's price swings threaten its chance of being a real currency. And this is an intelligent article. They say, in theory, Bitcoin is many admirable things. A frictionless virtual currency, independent of any state or central bank's endorsement or printing, useful for storage, storing purchasing power, and moving it across borders. A lot of good stuff going on with Bitcoin. But in practice, at least lately, Bitcoin has become wildly volatile. Right? It becomes what they describe as a collision of hot money. It's been used for drug dealers. It's been used in some criminal activity. It's a collision of hot money, and I believe that's what they mean by the hot money. High futuristic hopes for digital money and an illiquid fractured trading market. And they point out that Bitcoin in the last 24 hours surged from $550 per coin to $900 a coin overnight, and then fall back to something below $600 by morning. Now, and they point that it was trading bitcoins where individual coins were trading for just $13 in January. And their argument is this. because the swing in the price of bitcoins is so extraordinary that you can't use it for a currency. You know, if I'm going to buy something and I'm going to pay 20 bucks for it, well, the guy who's taken the 20 bucks expects that it's going to be worth more or less $20 tomorrow and a month from now and whatever. And even though the value of that 20 is being eroded by inflation, it's not being eroded too fast. Likewise, I don't expect that the value of my $20 bill is going to suddenly skyrocket to $500 this afternoon, because if I thought that was possible, I'm not going to spend that $20 bill. I'm going to hold on to it like a lottery ticket on the off chance that I could get rich off my $20 bill. You have to have at least the illusion of stability in order to, price stability, in order to have a currency. And Bitcoin certainly doesn't offer that. Again, it's gone from $13 in January up to $550 yesterday morning, $900 overnight, and back down to $600 earlier today. This is an unstable currency. And the next thing, here's an article from Zero Hedge. Go ahead.
I just want to say one thing. You captured the word small market. When you have small markets like that, they're very easily manipulated.
That's true.
You have these huge hedge funds that can go in there.
Relative to the gold market, for example.
Relative to any market.
Yeah.
And when you have a small market like that, you can make it move, and that's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They can get in there, they can buy it, and they can sell it, and that's why you're going to have these huge moves, these extreme moves in the prices. And what is the real value? So any
there
tiny
no
market, there
value.
Is no real
there
value.
There is no real value. It has no intrinsic value. It has less intrinsic value than a paper dollar.
It's nothing but digits
on a computer.
And particularly since it's linked to so much criminal activity. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot of big swings at Bitcoin. It's a fan. It's a fad. And but that's why you see these big moves.
Here's another one.
It's not demand. It's big moves by these huge hedge funds, and they can get in there, and they can move a market in any direction.
I understand.
We've seen it in silver.
Yeah, because
we've seen it in gold.
Yeah, and to some degree in gold, and it's been done in silver, obviously, and
because of the small size,
less obviously
market.
In gold, exactly. But yeah, because of the size of the market, small market is easily maneuvered.
Yep. Yep.
Here's another one, though. This is from Forbes magazine, and it refers to an assassination bureau. Bitcoin becomes an increasingly popular form of digital cash, the cryptocurrency is being accepted in exchange for everything from socks to sushi to heroin. If one anarchist has his way, it'll soon be used to buy murder, too. Part of the attraction of bitcoins is that they move anonymously.
And this is from Forbes magazine.
Yeah, this is Forbes magazine. This is a credible report. This is not some fantasy story or conspiracy.
Some blog. It's not from a blog.
This is a legitimate story, and they point out that there's a site that's run by somebody by the name of Sanjuro, and I don't know if that's his real name or not, but someone named Sanjuro. He's got a site called the Assassination Market. It's been online for 4 months. Six targets have been submitted by users, and bounties have been collected, ranging from 10 bitcoins for the murder of NSA Director Keith Alexander and 40 bitcoins for the assassination of President Barack Obama to 124 bitcoins, the largest current bounty on the site, targeting Ben Bernanke. Now, that translates into about $75,000 for an anonymous hit on Ben Bernanke and threats on the president and the NSA director. Well,
what I don't understand is why don't they pull that down? I don't understand why that website would be allowed to exist.
The government will not put up with any currency that can be used to create an anonymous assassination.
Well, why do they allow that website to continue?
I don't know that they're going. Now the news is just now breaking out. They're going to react on this, but they may be allowing it to continue just to follow and see who's going on there.
I don't think so. I mean, that's horrible.
Well, they're following everyone else what they're doing. I just received a letter the other day, said they didn't think I should play so many games on the NSA recommends I stop playing so many solitaire games on over the internet, and they suggest I should perhaps...
Are you using Bitcoin?
No, I'm not using Bitcoin. The point I'm trying to make...
I know the point, and it's...
People, politicians, with Bitcoins, I guarantee you there is going to be a war on Bitcoins. It is coming, and they are going to crack down. They're going to find whoever created this. They're going to find whoever is advocating this, and they are going to come after the people that are using Bitcoins. Besides that, they are going to be... It's going to be a threatening activity. All right, you're going to be taking a risk before this is done to deal with Bitcoins. And all of that great, you know, it's gone from $13 to $600. That's great. I understand that. It's, some people are getting rich off these things. No question about it.
But there's
a price to be paid before this is all over. This is not to replace gold, and it's not Bitcoins will not replace the currency, the existing currency system, although something like Bitcoins that is government approved and sanctioned, that may be coming. Bitcoin may be opening the door for another currency, but it's not going to be the one that's going to, it won't be the one that survives and replaces the dollar and becomes the world reserve currency or replaces gold. That's just not going to happen.
Well, I think the news media is going to pick up on anything, and as I guess as they should for anything that shows any type gains like that. I mean, it's certainly going to be, you know, the lead story of many programs. But as far as I see Bitcoin, it seems to me like it's a currency for criminals.
It's a currency for criminals. It's a currency for people who would like to be able to engage in business activities, normal transactions, without having the government breathe down your neck. It's a currency for people who don't want all of their financial affairs exposed to the government.
Well,
and maybe that's part. A lot of people would like that secrecy, and they would like that.
But there's no secrecy there. That's the whole point. There's no secrecy there.
Well, I don't believe in any secrecy on the internet. I mean, if you are exchanging information on the internet, and you think you can maintain secrecy on that environment, I think you're delusional. I'm not saying it doesn't happen sometimes, but I'm saying you can't rely on it. Any information you can communicate over the internet, somebody can figure out how to decipher it and what you're doing. So anonymity is an illusion in this day and age, in my opinion. It might work for a while, but especially you start threatening to kill politicians, and guess what? You're going to have a knock on the door from about 70 stormtroopers.
Well, I mean, I can't even believe Forbes even published that story to bring any acknowledgement to a site like that. I find it, you know, disturbing in many ways. But it is an example of how it can be, how that item can be misused, and how dangerous it is to be invested in it. That was the whole point.
It's a system problem. That's the ultimate point. The opinion here is that Bitcoins will be a flash in the pan. They'll be powerful. They'll be lucrative. They will be, who knows, you may get rich for a while, but it isn't going to last forever. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.